Morning, church. How are we this morning? Okay, we're going to start out things with a little bit of a survey. All right, how many people here are way on top of things and already done with Christmas? Got all your shopping done. I hate you. Okay. Okay, we're going to get a lot more hands this way. How many people are so desperately behind, there's no way they're going to be able to catch up? Okay, there's only like three people that raised their hand. I don't believe you. Okay, we're going to try it again. How many people feel behind and stressed out because it's Christmas? Let's try that. Okay, that's actually a little bit par when it comes to statistics, okay? Most people always feel a little bit behind the eight ball when it comes to Christmas, okay? When it comes to all the events with Christmas, all the things that we're expected to do, okay? Which really makes sense. I mean, let's think about it. It's a really busy, stressful time of year, right? I mean, you've got Christmas parties to attend. You got Christmas parties to host. You got Christmas parties to cook for, right? You've got shopping to do. You've got traveling to do to go see friends and family that, by the way, you have an entire year to go see, but for some reason everybody wants to see you on December 10th, right? I don't know what it is about that day, but it just always happens on this, same exact day, December 10th, right? Life during these 4 weeks is basically a never-ending shopping list. You know all those Christmas parties you're attending? Turns out the food is not really free. You actually are expected to bring that famous tater tot and mushroom casserole that everybody really loves, and basically you've already went to Walmart 5 times this week and you still forgot the cinnamon. Right? This is a time of year where we have a tendency to want things that we never needed or need things that we never want, either from clever marketing. Guess what? I'm in marketing. That's our job, is to make you want things you don't need. That's literally what our job is, okay? Or it's simply that you are comparing yourself to your neighbors, okay? You are noticing things that your neighbor had that you never really noticed before. You go up to your wife and you're just like, look, honey, I already know I have an Air nail gun, but it's at least 2 years old, and Sam, down the street, his wife got him one that connects to his phone via Bluetooth. Gotta have it, okay? Does everybody remember the old Lexus commercials, okay, where the guy would walk out the front door and see this giant Lexus SUV with the giant red bow on top? Okay, look, you might love your spouse and got them the fancy watch from Walmart, but you don't love your spouse that much, right? You just have not really loved your spouse until you bought them an $80,000 SUV, right? It's never enough, right? The stress just keeps piling on because you're never good enough, right? It's all done by comparing. And then let's not forget the wee ones. Let's not forget the children. They have a Christmas list a mile long, and us as parents, we feel the tension to fulfill every desire of their heart, right, during this season. If little Sally does not get the Barbie camper ride-on toy that has the working MP3 player and GPS, it is going to break her heart. I wish I was kidding about the GPS. These Power Wheels literally have a GPS system. Are they expecting the kid to get lost between the trampoline and the playset in the backyard? I don't know. But it's crazy. It is a very stressful, stressful time of year, right? It's the most stressful time of the year. From mall to mall, shopping and store to store, hopping, can't find what you need. It's the most stressful time of the year. Right? Thank you. Wrote that myself. Pretty proud. Okay, but let's be honest for a second. Let's get honest. During this time of year, though, we are meant to focus. We're focused on really big words. Hope, love, joy. But what is the first word that is usually completely sucked out of us during this time of year? Peace. Peace. And if we want to be really honest with ourselves, it has nothing to do with Christmas time. It literally happens all year long because we live in a society that does not prioritize peace. In fact, we live in a society, we live in a world that deprioritizes it so much that if you are one of those people that try to do better by finding rest, by finding stuff that relieves stress, by trying to seek peace, you're lazy. Right? The long and short of it is, guys, that our inability to accept the priority of finding peace in our lives is sin. And it is a sin, it is our gateway sin that can lead to other sins. Let's go to, go all the way back to Genesis. Think of Cain. You think Cain just woke up and killed his brother? No. He got angry first. He lost peace that grew into anger, that grew into murder. Now, I realize that's a jump. I'm not expecting, hopefully, anyone to go out and kill somebody, but, shopping. But this is a serious problem. And we live in a society that completely sweeps it under the rug. Merry Christmas. I am a statistic guy. I know, I'm pretty boring. That's okay. But I like to use statistics to tell a story. That's one thing that we kind of do in marketing, right? We say, okay, what do the numbers say? How do we make those sound better? Basically, okay? So with this message, actually this morning, I was very excited, which is weird to say, considering the topic, very excited to talk about because it kind of hits home with me a little bit. But we're going to read some statistics real quick, and I want you guys to just really let these sit really heavy with you, okay? Let these stick with you for a while, all right? First one, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults. And these are all from the age 18 and older. That works out to be about 18% of the population. Now think about that. We're talking about anxiety disorders. I'm not even talking about people who get stressed out. Just think how much bigger these numbers would be if you include those. So we're talking about people that have reached a point where it's actually been diagnosed. Okay? 18% of the population. And think about how young we're talking. We're not talking 25 years and older, hey, I've got kids now, I have the stress of a job, all that. No, 18. High school. Okay? Anxiety disorders are highly treatable. Good news. Bad news. Yet only 37% of those suffering actually receive treatment. Why? If so many people are suffering from this, why are only like a third of them actually seeking help for it? Okay? That goes back to the idea of we live in a society that doesn't prioritize it. We live in a society that if you are trying to seek help for this kind of thing, there's a stigma attached to it. Okay? Now we're talking about anxiety disorders. Okay? We're talking PTSD, OCD, addiction. Go on and on and on and on. Right? ADHD. These are actual diseases, disorders, okay, that have been diagnosed. And yet, we live in a society that would go up to these people and simply say, chill out. Why are you making a big deal out of this? Calm down. Cheer up. It's not as bad as you think. Just take a deep breath. Would anybody here go into the hospital to somebody who just broke their leg and say, get up, you lazy bum? No, you wouldn't do that. Now, we're not going to sit here and talk about a healing ministry, and I'm not getting into that, okay? I highly doubt anyone is going to walk across the street and heal somebody's broken leg by saying that, okay? But yet, this is how we approach people who suffer from anxiety disorders. We sweep it under the rug. It's not a big deal. People with an anxiety disorder are 3 to 5 times more likely to go to the doctor and 6 times more likely to be hospitalized for psychiatric disorders than those who do not suffer from anxiety disorders. Okay, 2 things to pull from this, all right? Number one, okay, everybody knows Scott and Heidi, right? They've made, I'm gonna plug you guys, okay? You guys have made a big priority on health, right? You eat well, everything like that, because that was a priority for your life, okay? You're gonna say, nope, I'm gonna change the way I eat because how healthy my body is matters, right? And they're very good at that. They've made it a priority. But a majority of people will not make a priority of relieving stress, relieving anxiety in their lives. Because let me tell you guys, our stress is literally killing us. There is a detrimental effect to our physical bodies when we carry around that much anxiety. But yet, we put no priority on relieving it. Number two from this, it doesn't stop unless you do something about it, right? It stops with a small anxiety disorder, and it can grow to a psychiatric problem. Going from OCD to schizophrenia, for example, okay? It can grow if we don't do something, all right? That's how serious this stuff is. Anxiety disorders develop from a complex set of risk factors, including genetics, brain chemistry, personality, and life events. The one I want to camp on in that list right now is genetics. As human beings, we literally have a genetic disposition to hoard stress and anxiety. It is literally a genetic disposition for us. And the Bible supports that. So we're going to camp on this for just a second. In the Bible, we are often compared to one of the most anxious and dumbest creatures in the world, a sheep. In Mark 6:34, you don't necessarily have to turn there, but in Mark 6:34, it does not say he had compassion on them because they were like dolphins. Dolphins, if you didn't know, is considered one of the smartest animals. I think actually the smartest animal in the animal kingdom. But that's not who we are compared to. No, we are compared to sheep who are fearful, stressed out, and dumb. Guys, when we are referred to sheep in the Bible, that is not a compliment. Okay? Don't get offended. Be convicted. Okay? Did you know that most domesticated animals have at least some sense of a survival instinct? Okay? If you have a dog, okay, a domesticated dog, and they were to get loose, more than likely, it would survive. More than likely, okay? I've seen dogs, you know, chase chickens and rabbits and everything. More than likely, it would find dinner, it would find water, it would survive, okay? Your domesticated cat, if it were to get out, not only would it survive, it would probably thank you, all right? Now, sheep, on the other hand, now there are wild sheep, okay? I'm talking domesticated sheep. If a domesticated sheep were to get away from the flock, it would not find dinner, it would find out it is dinner. Okay, they have zero survival instinct apart from the flock, apart from any type of security that they're known to be about. Okay, they are completely helpless without the help of a shepherd. Ah, now we know where we're going with this. Okay, let's all turn real quick to John 10, and we're just going to read a couple verses out of John 10, starting with 14, and we're also going to read verse 27. Okay? All right, John 10:14. This is Jesus talking, right? I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Okay, then we're gonna jump down to verse 27 real quick. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Amen. All right. So Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. Okay, we're gonna unpack that a little bit more here in a little bit on the idea of what a good shepherd is. Okay, but he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. Jesus intimately knows each and every person in this room, each and every person in Jeff City, each and every person in the world. Okay, he knows you intimately. All right, he knows how you're gonna react. He knows what stresses you out. He knows what causes you anxiety. He knows when you're going to mess up. He knows all that, okay? But yet, We still live in a world that causes us anxiety and stress. We're still in this world. Why are we still surrounded by stress and anxiety if he knows it's going to mess with us? Okay? Because we're called to something higher, right? Okay, so I know my own, and my own know me. And then, like I said, when we skip down to verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Hear my voice. So if we are meant to know Jesus, okay, there is something more than just simply knowing his nature. It's actually knowing his voice. Why is it important that we know his voice? Because he's going to tell us. He's going to talk to us. There's a command idea here that we're supposed to follow. Okay? Follow, right? And they follow me. There's a command associated with this. It is not just simply a, yeah, I know Jesus. He's cool. No, we're supposed to follow him. It's a command, okay? So why is it important that we follow him? Why is that a big deal, okay? We are to follow him because of where he's going to lead us, all right? Now let's keep in mind, we are sinners. So we are going to follow Jesus imperfectly. He knows us, so therefore he knows that, okay? But he knows that we are going to follow him imperfectly. But at the same time, he continues to offer grace. And if you're one of those kind of people that think, you know what, I follow Jesus just fine. I don't like the idea of being known as a sinner. I don't really need the grace that he provides or anything like that. Well, then you kind of have a distorted view on how the kingdom works, okay? Because the truth of the matter is, we are going to follow him imperfectly. And if you think that you are not in need of grace, you're either blind, lost, or a fool. It's just ridiculous if you think you don't need grace. Ask literally anybody that's sitting around you if you need grace. See what they answer. Okay? That is a very distorted view on how to do this. Okay, so we were talking about earlier about the idea of Jesus being our good shepherd. Well, what's that mean? If we are to follow Jesus, there's a command associated with this. Where is he leading us? Why is this important? Okay, let's turn again. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. A lot of people probably know this one. Okay. Psalm of David. This is Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. So what does a good shepherd do? There's something that we really need to understand about sheep. Sheep are not going to eat. They're not going to drink. They are not going to multiply unless they feel safe and secure in their surroundings. It's just not going to happen, okay? So a good shepherd, his job is to take us to a place where we are fed, we are watered, okay? And we feel safe, okay? And Jesus promises right now that he is that good shepherd. If we were simply hear his voice and follow him, he is going to take us to these peaceful waters. But remember, we are going to follow him imperfectly. So yes, we are still going to be surrounded by stress and anxiety. We are still, let's just admit it, lacking peace. But Jesus promises that he's the good shepherd and he will always be there to help us find those peaceful waters once again. Now, there's another story in the Bible talking about where Jesus literally breaks the leg of a sheep. So let's add stubborn on top of dumb, okay, when we describe ourselves. But all that shows is that we have a shepherd. We have a good shepherd that is not willing to just give up on us. He knows from the very beginning that this is something that we were going to desperately need. He knew that we were going to just simply be a very anxious people, okay? Ever since the fall, we're going to be a very anxious people, all right? Now, from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, okay, we're talking about the fall, all right? Ever since then, we have tried to find other ways to find this peace. Every time from Genesis 3 to this very second. And we simply try to plug in other things that is not our shepherd to try to fill those voids. Knowing very well that we have a shepherd over here that is going to take us directly where we need to be, but we choose not to listen to his voice. So if you think you don't need grace, if you think you're not a sinner, I'd like to see how well you're actually following your shepherd. There are several good scriptures about not being anxious in life and everything. And I don't necessarily want to teach on all these right now, but I do want to mention them. So if you're taking notes or anything like that, we are recording today, so you'll be able to come back and write these down if you're not writing, okay? But one of them I want to mention, Matthew 6:25, okay? Don't be anxious about your life. It doesn't say don't be anxious about the day. Don't be anxious about your next meal. No, he actually says don't be anxious about your life, the whole thing, okay? Don't be anxious about that. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Psalm 127:2, I like this one. Don't eat the bread of anxious toil. Kind of makes you think of a choice there. It's like, you know, I'm choosing this bread over this bread. There's a whole other sermon there, right? This one's probably my favorite. Psalm 3:5, I lay down to sleep and woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I love that picture. I lay down to sleep and the Lord sustained me. It's this idea of giving up control, the idea of finally allowing yourself to rest, to calm down. Understanding that the Lord can probably handle things without you for a few hours. Get some rest, because you need it. I love that one. One of the things in the video that I really liked, he mentioned the idea of, scripture, Isaiah 9:6. And I want to go back to the idea of why we follow Jesus. He describes himself as the good shepherd. And we know why he's the good shepherd, because of where he leads us. But how does he know what we need? Okay? Other than the fact that, you know, he's God. But whenever you work at your job or anything, you have a CEO or you have a boss and everything, and most of the time they have acquired that position because they have years of experience, okay? Most of the time. They have years of experience doing that job, okay? So they know what they're doing, okay? In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is referred to the Prince of Peace. Another word for prince here in this actual context is master, which I really like. He's the master of peace, which means he's really, really good at it. Okay? He's the master of peace. He is not just God. Let's remember that one time he was also human. So he's experienced everything that we experience daily. He knows what that that turmoil feels like. Okay, Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a great picture, okay? The Lamb, the sacrifice, the human being, okay? The one who has experienced everything that we experience, okay? But he did it without sin. He did it with perfect peace. He did it as a master of peace. He lived a life just like ours, but did it correctly, okay? So then he takes that experience, and now he is leading us as a shepherd. He's like, look, I know what you're going through, and I know how to do it. Follow me. But yet we still choose not to listen to his voice, because I want to hit that home, guys, that we are sheep, and we're considered sheep for a reason. Not only do we need a shepherd, but we have a shepherd that we don't always follow. Okay? I think that's very important to understand. Now, excuse me. Jesus did more than just simply become a shepherd so we have somewhere to follow, so that way we can be fed, we can have water, right, and we can feel safe. There's more to it. We're talking simply, everything we've talked about up until now is this internal idea, okay, of how we can keep from building up stress, where we can stay anxiety-free, all this, make us feel good inside, okay? Not that any of that is not important. It's important. Like we were talking earlier, there's literally a physical problem that happens when you allow stress to come up too much in your life, right? It's literally killing us, okay? So we understand that side of things, but there's more to it. Okay? So, you know, it's Christmas time, and we've already read this once, but I do want to go ahead and go through it again and teach from it right now. And we're going to go here to Luke 2 again. And this is actually where we're going to close. We're going to end with Luke 2. I'm going to read verses 8 through 14 again. Okay. Again, we're talking about the shepherds and the angels. Okay. Verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Okay, so I want to just, like I said, read that again. But here's what I want you to catch this time. Who is the first people to hear the news? Shepherds. So this entire time we've been talking about the good shepherd, we've been talking about Christ, okay? And now we're reading a story where we see the human equivalent, the imperfect version of the same job, okay? I want us to make a clear distinction between the good shepherd, which is Jesus, and shepherds, okay? Because there's a difference, all right? Let me just be very clear here. Okay, David and I right now might be called to be shepherds of this church, but we are not the good shepherd. Okay? We might try to present the gospel. We are going to try to present good news. We are going to try to provide solid teaching, everything like that, okay? But we are not Jesus Christ. We are not the voice you need to learn to hear and follow. We are not going to necessarily lead you to green pastures, still waters, and make you feel safe. We will do the best we can, but we are not the good shepherd. So we need to make sure as a body that we are focusing our ears on Jesus. Okay? He is the one that is going to provide peace and salvation, not me. Okay? I am the imperfect reflection, so to speak, or the job here at this church. I'm the imperfect version of it. I am not the good shepherd. Make that distinction, okay? The other thing that we need to understand is that shepherds back in those days were actually not considered good people, so to speak, okay? So there's basically two different types of shepherds back then. There was the shepherds where the son would shepherd the father's flock, okay? So it kind of kept in the family, right? And then there was another set of shepherds that were literally hired hands, okay? Cowboys, so to speak, okay? Now, more speaking specifically about the hired hands type of shepherd, okay? They weren't, let's say, on the up and up when it comes to religious rituals, because they were around unclean animals all the time. They were basically not allowed in the temple in order to take part in said rituals, okay? If you were to walk up on this conversation that this probably group of shepherds was having right before the angel came up, it'd be like walking into a bar full of sailors, okay? It wasn't necessarily the people held at the highest regard. Shepherds, actually, back in those days, their testimony was not even admissible in court because it was automatically assumed they were lying. Okay, so let me make that very clear. But yet, even with all of that, knowing the background of shepherds back then, they were still the first people to hear the good news. This is God hitting the ground running, saying that the good news is for sinners. He did not send this to the religious elite. He sent this to the people who needed it most from the very beginning. Okay, he is the friend of sinners. All right, so the very first people to hear this. All right, now the next thing that we really need to understand is how they had an imperfect reaction to this. Okay, so we're talking about the good shepherd that is here to relieve our anxieties, right, and lead us to peace. And then we have these imperfect versions of shepherds who completely got scared out of their wits when something like this happened. Needless to say, they were probably a little stressed out. Actually, to be honest with you, just to kind of do a little conjecture here, considering probably what kind of conversation they were having, they probably thought they were dead. But all of a sudden, just fear overtakes them. And the very first thing they hear is, "Do not fear." The first human reaction to the good news is fear. The first heavenly reaction to fear, peace. Amen. That's how fear is combated. That's how anxiety is combated. That's what God has done, provided peace. Amen. Now we're still talking eternally, right? Internally here, right? But why are we allowed to have internal peace? Why do we no longer fear? Yes, he's provided an internal peace. He's provided an internal peace because now we have eternal peace. Through Jesus Christ, through the Lamb, through that human being that experienced everything that we experience now, through that sacrifice, we now have eternal peace. Talking like we're going with it back to the video. Eternal peace, lack of conflict, end of war with God. For the first time since Genesis 3, we are no longer at war with God. He has made peace with us. He has signed the peace treaty when we deserved it the least. He made peace with us. Now, I know John 3:16 gets all the publicity, but let's talk about John 3:17 for a second. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The first thing that God did whenever the angel appeared to those shepherds was not condemn them for anything they were doing, anything they had done, or even the fear that they were having. No, the very first thing he said, "Do not fear, because you have no idea what just happened. I have made peace with you. And all you have to do is learn my voice and follow me, and I'll lead you to that peace." We'll have the band come back up. Guys, anxiety is a real problem. And it's so much more than telling people, just chill out. There is a sin in this world. There is an absence of that peace. And we might not ever be completely peaceful, but we can see snippets of it by choosing to follow a shepherd that knows exactly what you're going through and said, "Not only can I lead you to peace, but I've given it to you because I'm done fighting with you. I will make the ultimate sacrifice because you can't. I will take the step down because you're not good enough to step up to me. But I'm God and that's my job because I have the power to do that." Let's let that sink in. He has the power to wipe the entire planet clean. Literally wipe us off the board. That's the power he has. And that's not what he chooses to do with it. He could have chose to drop the nuke, right? Completely wipe us out again. But instead he chose, "No, I choose a peace treaty. Because you mean more to me than that. I know you're going to follow me imperfectly. That's why you're my sheep. But I'm your good shepherd, and I'm not going to give up on you. There's nothing you have done, will do, that will surprise me. Because I know your nature. And I know that you're dumb. But I love you anyways. That's what the good shepherd does. That's the peace that we're offered, both internally and eternally. I know we say it every week, but you know, there's nothing magical about these stairs or anything like that. But if you feel the need to come up and pray, I can pray with you, or maybe someone would feel led to pray with you. I would pray right now that how can you put priority on finding peace in your life? Rest. How can you find your shalom? And just keep in mind, the more stress you allow on yourselves, it's literally killing us. I would ask that to be your prayer tonight or today.